In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It was interesting today going through the lessons and thinking about the baptism of our Lord and what I really wanted to say. Baptism, for the Christian, is actually defined quite simply as an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. At baptism, we're supposed to be regenerated, we're renewed, we're brought into the body of faithful people. We follow our King. It was a little shocking to actually go through a number of commentaries that were talking about the baptism of Christ. And their point was that Christ actually was baptized after all the people. That it wasn't until then that the Holy Spirit descended upon him and made him God's beloved Son. Well, that's adoptionism. It's not quite that simple. There's another way to look at this. Instead of looking at, we all have access to this, which we do, we all become sons of God, not simply because of baptism, but because of the first fruits. Tertullian understood this as a church father, and what he basically said is this: that which has not been assumed cannot be healed. Father Pei used to simplify this and actually say you can't give what you don't have. If you want a more basic understanding, who here would choose to follow someone who says do this but doesn't themselves do it? I think that's the crux of the problem. And I think that's where a lot of the commentaries actually get it wrong. I think when you begin to look at this as simply an action that is accessible to everyone, which it is that, but it is not simply something that everyone has. Christ was not fully man and fully divine at the very moment of his baptism. He was always fully man and fully divine. So in a sense, the Holy Spirit was always with him. So you have to look at the baptism differently. Was it for Christ that the dove came down from heaven? Was it for Christ that the words were spoken, "You are my Son with whom I am well pleased"? No, it wasn't. It was for everyone else there. And it shows a clear separation between Old Testament and New Testament. You have John the Baptist, who was the last of the Old Testament prophets. This is the coming he was talking about. You have the baptism of Christ, which inaugurates his ministry. He had already called people. People were already following him. But if it wasn't until then that he was really truly God's Son, why in the other Gospels do we hear about when Jesus was lost and his parents were looking for him after a day and found him in the temple? What did he say? "Did you not know you will find me in my Father's house?" How then can it only be after his baptism at the age of somewhere in his 30s that he's the Son of God? We always have to be careful to rewrite history to serve a liberal agenda. We don't serve the principle, we serve the prince. If you want social justice, follow God and the rest will come. If you want peace on earth, follow God and the rest will come. Don't try to crowbar Christ into some place that he's not meant to be. Crystal's son actually has a perfect saying on the back of his shirt. Will you stand up? Didn't think I caught that, did you? What does it say? You know, one of the sad things is this week there's going to be a meeting at Canterbury. And it's whether the Anglican Communion should actually continue. And there are a number of people that see the communion so fractured by the things that we've done that it doesn't seem to be able to. There again, that's crowbarring God into something we think he should fit. Yet it can't be denied that it's Christ's church, not ours. The Holy Gospel is the Holy Gospel of Christ, not ours. Holy Scripture is God's, not ours. We read, mark, learn, inwardly digest the Scriptures. We need to stop forcing things to fit how we think they should, and instead allow ourselves to be formed into what we should. It was very shocking to see those commentaries. They were all about social justice, and there was very little of the gospel in them. Just another way to say, well, we can do this because of that. The only way that you can read Christ as an adopted son is to take those scriptures as an island. They were never meant to be that. They go on to say that baptism has nothing to do with the Christian faith. It's not important. It doesn't matter. It's prayer that matters. True, prayer matters. Not at the expense of baptism. How do you know what you're praying if you're not part of what you're praying for? Good timing, Lee. Remember, baptism is an outward and visible sign of an inward and visible faith. It is the means by which we are regenerated and brought into the family of Christ, brought into the church, brought into faith. That faith is then expressed in life through prayer, through sacrifice, through worship, through praise, through everything that we do. But it's what's done because someone had done it first. We follow a king that has not asked us to do what he did not himself do. Let's see one of the politicians do that. Amen.